That's our intro.
Good morning, everyone. It's Pisces. This is the show where two brats talk movie news, review shorts, and some cat in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm a cozy judge.
This week, our name is Barry Allen, and we're the fastest man alive. Early morning vibes, that's where we're at.
Tapping into our ASMR market this morning.
Yeah, because it's the only time we could get to record. But that's cool. Mm. I mean, it's a nice change of pace.
It is.
Okay, there was sun. It's gone now.
There was that much sun. But now, not so much.
Not so much sun now, but that's okay. You got your beanie on, love that.
Mm. Are you staying safe? Have you been keeping warm?
I've actually been cold. I have trouble working sometimes with the fingers. So Abby gave me these gloves, the fingerless gloves.
Oh.
But they have fur on it.
Michael Jackson.
More like Teen Wolf from the 80s.
Wait, what's...
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
Different Michael.
Or is it, what's his name? The alternate casting.
But we've got quite a bit to talk about. So let's get into the news.
News and shorts.
Vin Diesel. Fastix.
He just can't.
No, but I don't think he did though this time. I don't think he did.
Look, so there were reports.
There were reports, but you know, reports gonna be reporting, and he doesn't have a good track record. I'll give him that. So reportedly, Vin Diesel is upsetty spaghetti.
Very upsetty spaghetti.
And he has expressed a sort of irritation with Jason Momoa that he stole the show in Fast X.
Yeah, he overacted and stole the show. And that's why the critics have not been so positive.
If anything, Vin Diesel underacted.
He may be underacted in this one. Also, I mean, for him to say, like, now suddenly he cares about the critics when with the other nine, he's been about, these are for the fans, and it's not about critic score. And
this is where I think it may not be true, right? He's a Lani of this franchise.
Yeah, he is.
So
he's a pappy.
He's a real big pappy. He's a big pappy pomp. He's a big pappy pomp.
He's a baby pappy.
So, you know, any success from anyone in this franchise, anything positive, he benefits from it.
But Ross is also petty.
I know.
You are attributing some very altruistic personality traits to a man who walks around with his arms constantly
flexed.
You sent me that video with him at the basketball match with his lighty.
I did not.
And he walks and he can see all his breath.
Why doesn't he just get a strap?
I don't think they don't make them in that size. I looked in the shops. Me and Vin have the same level of punch at this point.
but he released a statement.
Yeah. He felt the urge to address it.
He addressed it and he said that it's not true. He said, why would he be jealous? Whatever. I love how expressive and collaborative all of the actors in the franchise feel coming into the world saga. Jason wanted to try something totally unique and special and ended up creating a scene-stealing character. You see, now those words, I think he used those words on purpose because that's what he was accused of, of being upset with Jason Momoa for scene-stealing.
But also, it's like, it feels like he's being patronizing with that statement. It gives strong my little brother energy.
I hate like that he calls everyone little brother because he's smaller.
No.
Maybe older, but like older 2 years.
That's not even that much older.
Like 2 years and then he's like my little brother.
Oh, man. I'm actually trying to find, who was it that pointed us out to this article? It was one of our followers on Instagram.
Was it Lindsay? No.
No, it wasn't Lindsay.
Was it Tunzi?
Anyway, I'll find her and then I'll shout her out later.
Yeah, or don't.
Not so much effort.
But yeah, you feel that it is true. I feel that it's not true.
In Vin's defense, it was friends of Vin. Sources placed close to Vin. So it has to be Tyrese and Ludacris. Who else is there? they came forward and said that Vin is very upset with Jason for the overacting and the this and the that.
Oh, it came from friends.
Yeah.
You see, you know why? Because they're not family.
Mm. Family would know.
Family would know they're big.
Otherwise, they don't get in the sequel.
Apparently, a female actor has entered the arena for the James Bond casting.
Yeah, first, they almost did a black person, and now, possibly a female, Ross, whatever next.
They're not going to do it.
They're not. I can guarantee you they're not.
They're not going to do it. I would love it, but the person who seems to be the front runner is Jodie Comer.
And I love that they just put Ana de Armas in the picture.
This website is garbage now.
I know. But I mean, they also reference the fact that Aaron Taylor Johnson, Henry Cavill, Regé
Jean-Pierre.
Well, you said it's reggae.
Yeah, it is. Reggae.
Puka. And Richard Madden, which I don't actually.
I don't think.
Richard Madden's accent's a bit too intense.
Maybe it's fine.
He's got that rough Scottish.
Yeah.
Sean Connery had that just slap around a little.
Richard Madden is like,
Mom. Yes, Mom.
Yeah.
No, Mom.
They can take our lives.
You watch Bodyguard, eh?
No, I watched parts of it.
Oh, you must. That's a good one. Yes, Mom.
Who's got the time?
Yes, Mom.
Abby finished it. She really enjoyed it. But yeah, Jodie Comer is the woman they're talking about. And I think she would fucking kill it.
She would, but it's also a little bit thin, eh? Because they're basing all of this off of the fact that she just won a Tony Award for a play. And she obviously plays an assassin in Killing Eve.
Mm,
so those two things are apparently contributing to
but
this thing momentum.
Is that the Broccolis, who own the rights to James Bond, the woman specifically... Mrs. Broccoli.
Mommy Broccoli.
What's her fucking name?
I don't know. They don't reference the Broccolis in
this
article.
They do.
Oh. I didn't see that they reference the Broccolis in this article.
Oh, Variety probably. Anyway, she has said that she's against a female Bond.
Yeah, and probably like any non-white Bond actor too. Oof, I don't think she's going to say that part.
That internalized misogyny is strong.
James is James, you know? Oh, wait, the Italian. James is a James.
Are they Italian?
I don't know. Broccoli.
No, broccoli is English. It means green vegetable.
So broccoli translated into... Wow. Wow.
You know, I hate this shit because it's not only is it a fucking clickbait, but it also gets my hopes up a little sometimes.
That things might change.
Yeah. Because I'm all for it. All for trying something new. Just do something new. Go tatty. If it fails, it fails.
Mm-hmm.
You still have the older ones. Whatever. Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
Amen.
Is that how you're in prayers in church? Shut the fuck up. Amen.
Amen. That's normally what the minister says in church.
Did you see that minister who was like sabelaring?
Where?
I don't know. In some church, obviously on the Cape Flats.
Wow.
Ons gaan nie nou maar vol maak. Hulle gaat wijs raak. But he's a preacher and he's speaking. I was like, Yurr. Literally.
What are you saying?
No, I think the Yurr was like, got scared. And he was like, nah.
Wow. No, I did not see that.
I'll send it to you. Ugh, Jody, we lost another one.
Yeah. I first saw this in a fucking TikTok. Where they were referencing Jonathan Majors. And then I'm like, Tino Huerta? Why is Tino Huerta's name in this thing?
Why is he trending? Yeah, so Tino Huerta has been accused of sexual assault by a woman named Maria Elena Rios.
Yes, she's an activist in Mexico.
Yeah, her story is quite interesting though.
Sad.
Yeah.
Messed up.
It's fucked up. I was shocked to read about what happened to her and stuff. She has been a victim of abuse before.
Mm.
She was involved with a politician, eh?
I wasn't sure if it was a politician, but... She was in a relationship
previously. Yeah, it obviously got abusive and whatever, and he had arranged for people to throw acid on her.
Which is a thing in Mexico.
Yeah.
It's like over 30 women in the last few years have been, they've been attacked in that way, acid to the face.
Where are they getting acid?
And it's a thing. There are other countries where this happens too.
No, but like, and I wouldn't know where to buy acid.
Fuck knows. Like, especially the type of acid that can do this type of damage to people.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Also, a lot of the women end up not reporting the crimes because the society that they are in is still super misogynistic and also still super patriarchal, and they feel like they won't even be heard or listened to if they come forward. So nothing happens to these perpetrators.
Nothing. So knowing all this and knowing the woman and knowing her story, and she still chose to come forward with this story. And she alleged that he was abusive and a sexual predator.
Mm.
Yeah. The story broke a few days ago.
Yeah, because she had been on a podcast and they were going to release an episode that they weren't paying her for.
Yeah.
And so she was like, then she came forward and put all of this on Twitter, accusing Tino Huerta of being a predator and abusive and all of that. And also saying that these people are all protecting him, like the people from the podcast and a few other people in the industry, that type of thing.
And then he was obviously forced to make a statement. And in his statement, he said that it is totally untrue.
Mm. Entirely consensual at all times.
Yeah, as they did date. Countless
others can attest.
Yes, he said they did date and it was consensual and whatever, whatever. But yeah, it's again, what the fuck, man?
There's only this one allegation at this point.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it starts off with just one allegation and then suddenly others come forward.
Predator's gonna predator.
Exactly.
But I see a lot of people talking about like, oh, it's sad because he was, you know, in the quest for diversity and representation. He was obviously one of the up and coming stars. But it doesn't take away from the actual fight in terms of the greater idea of diversity and whatever. Yeah. So yes, men are trash. Believe women, but we have other people who are not trash, who can still represent and whatever. So don't be disheartened.
And I don't think this, like, those things should be connected, but like they're going to connect it. Like, look at those POCs and you give them a chance.
And people love to shoot people on pedestals. Yeah. Like, I mean, not shoot people on pedestals, but like quickly just like, oh, this guy's amazing. And they,
The quicker you can go up and the quicker we can get you back down again.
So it's very interesting to watch this happen. But I think men need to fucking get their fucking shit together.
Yeah.
Because it's a problem in the greater scheme of things. Looking at all these accusations coming out about everybody. And the cover-ups is the worst part.
Again, that poem about Weinstein.
Mm.
She said where you look at the fact that so many people knew about things.
Oh, yeah.
People who were in positions to actually make a difference, particularly men who were in positions where they could have made a difference and could have stood up to it and just let things be.
Mm.
And the longer that shit goes on, the more you're going to have situations where women don't feel like they can come forward. Yeah.
But money talks, bruh. And they fucking always talk, oh, cancel culture, cancel. These people don't get canceled, bruh.
Mm.
Jonathan Majors will be back.
Kevin Spacey is pushing.
If he's cleared of that charge in London, he's got jobs lined up.
Almost like the charge in London's the only thing.
But you know what? Fuck. And Conor McGregor was also accused now. Did you see?
Just now. Like,
at the NBA finals in the toilet.
At the Miami Heat, at their stadium.
Yes.
And they also, again, cover up vibes because it was his bodyguards. The security at the stadium.
He's supposed to sign to fight in UFC. He's supposed to fight.
Yeah, he's supposed to, but he had to get back into the testing pool by yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, and he didn't.
No. Well, the accusation just came out, so.
Oh, God. Listen, guys.
Fuck. Just do better.
Do better. You raising two sons.
I know.
It's on you.
I know. Conscious of this.
Don't fuck it up.
I won't, Ross. You are there as another as another level of don't fuck them up.
Yeah. Spider-Verse. Across the Spider-Verse. The movie I've seen and you haven't seen.
I haven't seen, so no spoilers.
Lehu Zahar
doesn't have to
Wow, you put the emphasis on the wrong thing.
The emphasis.
Yeah. What was I going to say? How are you avoiding spoilers?
strategic. I mean, and you know, websites are now at the point where they don't give a fuck.
Like, no, but
they
even put TikTok. TikTok, you literally have a split second before you can decide.
I don't follow a lot of movie accounts on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's real smart.
Because people don't give two shits. The ones that I do follow are older people who they talk about old movies, not about the new stuff.
But anyway, Across the Spider-Verse, it has been banned in the UAE. They don't have to give a reason.
No, but tell us why.
Likely due to, in the film, that Gwen's character has like trans flags in her room. And the palette itself is, Jody, the animation.
I
know, but like, I'm just
We will review it.
I'm just thinking about it now. Like, it is Gwen's world must be like the most beautiful. It's this hand painted, almost watercolor esque. Like,
I'm looking at this picture of Variety.
It's beautiful. And the trans colors are prominent. There's actual trans flags, like, in her room and stuff. But with most things in Spider-Verse, like, it's blink and you'll miss it.
They don't miss it, Ross.
Nope, they don't miss it because I firmly believe that they have like an FBI-esque team
looking for this shit all the time. Yes, 100%. They've got the money.
Just go. Yeah, they've got the money.
They've got, and it's fuck all to do, so they've got the time.
And
too.
And they just scour these movies for anything remotely.
Bam!
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of like Equilibrium with the the stuff that was just like, nope, entertainment, no.
Yeah, so it's the same sort of thing. And I'm like, wow. During Pride Month too.
Do you think they celebrate it in
Saudi?
No. They don't. Can I just...
You can.
Without going too deeply into the philosophy of this. Just saying like, protect trans lives. What the fuck does that do to anyone who... Like, even if you... don't believe...
It's offensive, Jody.
But even if you don't believe in...
Their existence alone is an offense to me. I am offended by them just breathing. And they shouldn't be allowed to breathe.
Taking up your hetero air.
And my hetero and my beliefs. And it goes against my beliefs. How dare they? How dare they exist and not hurt anyone?
Yeah.
How dare they?
But you know the kids.
Protect the kids.
I'm so tempted to talk about that Willy story, but no. Who will protect the children,
Oh,
Ross?
Oh my God, it's a fucking rainbow, people. They don't... anyway. Love is love. Andy Muschietti. Nope. Andy Muschietti.
He's not Italian.
It sounds Italian.
That surname is hella Italian.
Yes, yeah, hella Italian. So, he directed the new Flash. We just seen it. We will be reviewing it in about a few minutes. And he has now officially been announced as the director for the new Batman film, Brave and the Bold. I don't know.
Tony, it's going to be a shift for him because...
Tony.
So he directed Mama, he directed It and It 2. Very dark it. Films, right? It. Some very like... dark horror movies.
I mean, The Flash was his first non-horror.
Yeah, and we'll talk totally about that.
But he was working with a monster on that one. What?
Shots fired.
Anyway, after seeing The Flash, I don't know. But if James Gunn trusts him with this, that's what gives me hope.
That is what gives me hope. And thinking about aspects of what worked in The Flash and what could be taken over here. Look, Brave and the Bold is... It's not the Batman we've seen on screen to date.
No. Right?
Maybe what they had initially thought of doing with Batman in the early 2000s, when they started going in the toy direction, but they didn't quite go to nipples yet. It was heading maybe tonally into where Brave and the Bold sits.
I mean, if people have no context for this, they'd be like, what the fuck is he talking about?
So picture Val Kilmer.
If it goes from, before the toys, and then you go before nipples.
Like, what fucking toys? You don't understand that, why are you listening? So those films, like from Michael Keaton's films in the 90s to the George Clooney movies, they went from very dark Tim Burton Batman films to Joel Schumacher's
neon.
But Joel Schumacher's films became lighter because they were focusing on merchandise and stuff as well.
Yeah.
And I think Brave and the Bold is maybe somewhere in between that vibe, you know, in terms of the type of Batman and the Bat family that we have represented there.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you see a little bit of that in The Flash.
Exactly.
Without giving too much away, you see some of that in The Flash. So, if Gunn trusts him, I may not trust him, but I'll give him a shot.
Yeah. Benefit of the doubt is what he's got going for.
Yeah, yeah. Get your cock out, Jody. It's time for Christopher Nolan news.
I lift it out.
We cannot.
I lift it out because I would be targeted if I put it in.
So Warner Brothers desperately want Christopher Nolan back.
They want that no money. $1 million.
What?
Same figures. That's what I want to give you.
No. It was officially $1 million.
That apparently.
I just saw seven
that
figures.
That was irrespective of whether Oppenheimer bombs or not.
No, so let's give context. After they released Tenet on streaming and they didn't tell anybody, Warner Brothers pissed a lot of people off.
Yes.
One of those people was Christopher Nolan.
Who shoots on film.
Yeah, he shoots on film for integrity of art and things. Yes. So he said, fuck Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
What his official stance was, I went to sleep working for one of the best movie studios in the world, and I woke up working for one of the worst. So he was upset his spaghetti. Mm. He left, and Oppenheimer is releasing through Universal.
Yeah.
Because he was
for the crossover.
Yeah. So now Warner Brothers has gone through a whole restructure. They're going to focus on theatrical.
There we go.
It's getting worse. It's getting worse. Again. Matt Damon. So they, the releases.
Use it in every week. That's like the icing Archer.
So then, now Warner Brothers are like, please come back. Please, Christopher, look at this. Here's a check of seven figures.
Yeah.
No fucking strings attached.
Film whatever you want.
This is just royalties from Tenet. Okay, you take that. But there's more where that came from if you come back to us, you know? He hasn't said anything about this.
No.
Because he's quite a private guy.
But also, he's like right in the thick of prepping for Oppenheimer's big push for before release. So, I mean, it's not like the timing is weird for this to come out. But maybe also it's auspicious because he's going to now do the press circuit.
Yeah.
And they're going to ask him about it
100%. Yeah. So, we'll see what he says. But like, yo, desperate times. Calls for a lot of money.
It's time for a review.
This week, Russ, we got to go to a special screening of The Flash.
Yeah, man. It was the premiere night.
It was premiere night.
All the stars were out.
Shout out to Empire Entertainment.
Bow, 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 bow.
This one's directed by Andy Muschietti, as you already said. Worlds collide when The Flash uses his superpowers to travel back in time to change the events of the past. However, when his attempt to save his family inadvertently alters the future, he becomes trapped in a reality in which General Zod has returned, threatening annihilation. With no other superheroes to turn to, the Flash looks to coax a very different Batman out of retirement and rescue an imprisoned Kryptonian, albeit not the one he's looking for. Interesting synopsis we've got there.
A lot of words. Wasn't listening.
So many words. We've got Ezra Miller, we've got Ben Affleck, Sacha Kahl, Michael Keaton, Michael Shannon, Ron Livingston.
Michael Shannon?
Yeah. General Zod.
Oh, is he Michael Shannon?
That's
who's the other guy? Michael Sheen. Sorry, yeah. I'm thinking of the lichen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Angie Trow, Helen Slater, Jeremy Irons, Tamura Morrison, Christopher Reeve, Kiersey Clemons.
Whoa.
Spoiler.
What the fuck, Joni?
Slight spoiler, sorry.
Jeez.
I was getting into it. And then Maribel Verdú.
Ah. I don't know who that is.
Nora Allen.
This Italian mother.
But it's Maribel sounds not Italian.
Yeah, but she was Italian though. I mean, they literally.
Spanish.
She was making pasta. You'll get that once you see it.
Okay.
Story-wise.
Yeah.
it's loosely based
yes.
on the Flashpoint paradox.
And emphasis on loose.
Yeah. So if you've read the comic book or you've seen the animated film,
cannot recommend that highly.
Yeah, it's one of the best Flash stories ever in the world ever known to man and things. It's a big event.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge. And this is a smaller story.
Smaller story. Flashpoint also involves all the key members
yeah.
of Justice League, which in this movie we have some featured, but...
No, yeah, not really. Not yeah, really featured.
Not integral to the story.
Not integral to the story. So, story-wise, I was a little disappointed just because of the Flashpoint Paradox Association
yes.
and references and stuff. Because that story is so beloved and so big, I'm fine with adapting things. I mean, look at Civil War, what yes. Marvel did. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
And I think they
even the whole Infinity War storyline, yeah. that is a loose adaptation of that.
Cuck loose. Yo, don't even talk about...
Cuck loose.
Take off your Sunday, man. Anyway, so then even Age of Ultron, for instance, which yeah. that was a bad example, actually, yeah. because it was, yeah, it's supposed to be the Age of Ultron, not the one movie of Ultron. Yes. Anyway.
So, we digress.
So the same thing here, I was okay with it. I was a little disappointed. I wanted to see a little more of Flashpoint Paradox, but I was okay with it. I understood why they did it.
I think that without going into spoilers...
You already spoiled one.
Yeah, but you must gonna fix that in post.
No.
Fix it with a hot...
They must know your mistake. You will live with that.
The weight is bearing down. So, I think that there's this very subtle pivot here that might be more perceptible to people, some people than others, but it starts off very much following the idea of the Flashpoint paradox.
I mean, the
and then goes into a Zack Snyder tribute. And I think that's the where the issue lies.
That man has over DC is insane. But it's all
but also
they're correcting.
Movie, but
they're correcting.
Also, look, this film is still old slate, so
yeah.
the influence
that's what I'm
that
saying.
Snyder
so they,
on it is...
They are correcting. Yeah. So Barry Allen, if you don't know his story, his mother was killed and his father went to jail for it. Mm. His entire life he's been trying to prove his father's innocence. Exactly. His father didn't kill his mother and he's been trying to prove that.
And that's been alluded to in, what's it now, the Justice League movies.
The Aquaman movies.
Wherever
Wonder
Barry's
Woman,
appeared, they
Barry
basically...
was in World War II. So I can't remember all of this.
Wherever Barry's appeared, they've alluded to the fact that he's been trying to get his dad out of jail. Like,
was he in Wonder Woman? Maybe.
No.
Anyway, so Barry now being, feeling hopeless and stuff. His last attempt didn't work and he fucking runs.
Yeah.
And he discovers that he can actually travel in time and change things.
Yeah.
So he decides to change the past to bring his mother back.
Yeah, but he first has his discussion with Bruce because him and Bruce have become homies since...
Is that a real car?
I assume so. The Mercedes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that thing is stunning.
I assume it is. So him and Bruce have become a lot closer. And
Barry
is him, right? Barry isn't they.
Barry's not Bruce.
No, Barry's not they in the movie.
No. Barry's a man in the movie. Yeah, Ezra is non-binary. Okay. So I actually read the tie-in comic. And the reason why
they released the tie-in comic.
Well, you don't have your ear to the geeks. You got to keep your ear to the geeks, man. Anyway, so the reason why they are close is because Barry had the Flash powers, and he encounters this villain who he can't really beat because this villain is like cuck strong. So every time he tries to hit the villain, he like breaks his shit. So he goes to Batman, and Batman actually trains him to fight. And
did Batman help him with his suit?
Yes.
Also,
he gave him the ring suit. Yeah. So he gave him that conducting thing. He gave him the ring. He created all of that. Yeah. And he taught him how to fight.
Okay.
And so you obviously don't have time to see that, but that's why they are.
Okay. But that's actually a really cool explanation for that whole thing.
Yeah.
So Bruce explains to him when you mess with time,
when you mess with time, you mess with family.
Yeah. When you mess with family.
It all can be like the possibilities are endless to bring the Fast X family into the
it's the crossover you didn't know you needed.
100%. So yeah, I mean, that was cool because Bruce, I mean, he's a human being, and him just being smart as shit would be like, Barry, don't fuck with this shit. You don't know what's going to happen.
In any case, we wouldn't have a movie if Barry didn't fuck with this shit. So Barry does.
Heroes have to learn.
They have to learn. Gotta have an arc.
Gotta have an arc. So then he does it. And what does he do? He fucks up everything.
Yeah. Which is comprehensively.
Yeah. Which is classic Ezra Miller.
Yeah. Yo, okay. I think that's enough story.
Non-spoiler story. Yeah. Performances.
Performances. Ezra Miller was so much better.
Of the non-spoiler characters.
Yeah.
Don't mention spoiler characters.
I won't. I just did one by accident.
Yeah.
Will you hold this against me for the rest of my life?
That's what I'll do.
Probably.
I'll be like Vin Diesel.
Fair.
Petty as fuck.
And then you'll do an Instagram post calling me little bro.
Yeah. Listen, little bro.
I'll say it's all mahalo.
Ohana means family. Anyway, so performance-wise, you say Ezra Miller was so much better than what you've seen.
This is probably the best I've seen Ezra Miller in.
Why though?
They made him confront himself for
one. They made a more irritating character.
Which was Ezra Miller. Yes. That's what I mean. Is that because Ezra Miller.
Look, that's in the trailers. We can talk about that.
That was in quite a few trailers.
He encounters a version of himself, a younger version of himself.
Barry.
And that Barry is.
Yeah, that Barry is the absolute pits to the point where our Barry actually realizes how irritating he
is. That Barry is.
So this is the best performance of the Flash across any of these DC movies that I've seen so far. I don't watch the series, so I can't compare with Grant Gustin's
performance. Abby's a big fan. Mm-hmm. Kidding. No, she fucking hates that show. Grant Gustin, shame. He's a good Flash.
The
source material, not the source material, sorry, the script and stuff lets him down. Yeah. There's a lot of bullshit. It's a CW show.
Exactly.
But in terms of him being a Flash, he's mad decent.
Okay.
So I wasn't mad when the rumors came out that he's going to be in the Flash or he's going to be in the Flash. I was like, okay, cool, shame. He gets a proper shot.
Yeah.
But you're right. Ezra Miller, this is his best performance as the Flash so far.
Michael Keaton.
Amazing.
Like
he can't fail.
No.
He's been great in everything he's done recently.
And I think he also, people were worried he was going to go over the top.
No.
They
thought he was going to get nuts.
The line was basically in there because of Reddit. The delivery of it is
amazing.
Not as bad as what people said.
It's because the context was good.
Yes, it made sense.
Yeah, exactly. It was,
Sasha Kal, Supergirl. People apparently didn't like her. I really liked her performance.
You know why I think people didn't like her? Well, this is my theory, is that they are comparing her to Superman. So your Superman is your nice guy and whatever. I mean, you not Henry Cavill Superman because he's a tortured soul. But I mean, your general Superman is like, oh, I'm going to help people and stuff. But you have to think of the context. She got to Earth.
And was immediately imprisoned.
I mean, is that a spoiler? Well, anyway, they find her under weird circumstances and she doesn't fully trust humanity.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for her to have this anger and some sort of resentment. And she's harder and colder.
Yes.
And I actually like that. And it was refreshing. And her suit is fucking dope.
So good. Just like the whole look for me.
Oh, it's so
everything about it.
Henry Cavill actually said it's beautifully androgynous because it's powerful but still feminine in times. And even the way the neck, talking about nitty-gritty. Yeah. Mm. The collar line comes and then the cape itself comes from neckline straight into the back. Beautiful.
What Jenna said that I thought was a good point was she doesn't like the portrayal of her as this emotional
damage.
Like female emotional damage character. But she feels that they almost made it seem that because she's a woman, that she had more like emotional instability. So she got more upset and
things. I can see how
that's
fair.
It's a good point because she is a lot more emotive than the Superman character.
Yeah, but I didn't think of it like that because I took it as what had happened to her.
Yes.
And what she was sent there to do and finding
and
out that.
What she finds out. Yeah.
So I took it like, shit. Yeah. If I was in that situation, I would also get like angry.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good point she makes that for her as a woman, it felt like that representation made her seem like a moody woman.
Yeah, I get that too. But I hope people don't see it that way. Mm. She was still given, not given much to do.
Not enough.
Yeah, enough for me.
I mean, we'll talk about it in the spoilers.
We will talk about it in the spoilers.
I feel like they did her a disservice with her arc, actually.
Ben Affleck.
This was one of his more interested performances.
Yeah, so he was
for the part he was in.
He was quoted as saying, in contrast to the troubled production of Justice League, he said that he had a great time coming back for this film. And you can tell.
I felt like it came across.
Yeah.
Because he just felt more engaged than he did in those movies.
Yeah.
And almost like his character was a bit more true to what he would have wanted. Because Justice League had tonal shifts that just all over
the
show.
And he had the blue U cowl and cape on.
Yeah. I don't know. Do we go into CGI yet? Not yet. Gal Gadot was Gal Gadotting. I guess. Look, that song will always, like, that first intro still holds a special place in my heart, but that I could have done without that.
I mean, it's again, they just wanted to bring some people back for whatever. Jason Momoa was obviously filming Fast X or something. I don't know. He doesn't make an appearance. But that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, he does in post credits apparently. Yeah, we didn't wait for it.
The support cast are also pretty good as well. Barry's mom and dad. Yeah. The friends.
Friends. That was quite funny.
I feel like the support cast worked well too.
There was quite a bit of humor in this one.
Yeah.
What did you think about it? Some jokes didn't hit. Some did.
Hit and miss, but more hit than what I had expected going in. And maybe it's just like, we went in with tempered expectations for this movie.
I actually didn't. I after a while, like, I thought about it and I went into this movie and I was like, look, I hope this is the last time we're going to see Ezra Miller as the Flash. Mm. So I'm just going to go in and see, like, what they do, basically. Yeah. And just
be open to it.
Yeah. Mm. Like, just be like water, my friend.
Yeah.
There were funny, really funny moments. These moments where I laughed out loud.
Yeah. So much of the Barry stuff worked a lot better than I expected it would.
Yeah.
I was worried it's going to be like Ezra and it's going to go there.
They push the limit sometimes.
There were times. Yeah, but it worked a lot more than what I'd expect.
Because there were moments that where young Barry like catches on cuck and then like there was a one bra sitting that way.
Next to me.
Was he next to you?
Yeah, one seat over. Yeah.
And you're like, yo, this bro's dumb.
Yeah, the reactions were coming through. What the?
Yeah.
No, man, he's stupid.
That was funny.
We only ever seem like you've been in some fun audiences, it feels like screening audiences are also just louder.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they know they didn't pay for the ticket.
Yeah.
So they have less respect. Yeah. Who else was in it?
I think that's everyone we can talk about.
Yeah, I mean, General Zod was General Zodding. I mean...
Did you hear Michael Zod? Michael Shannon?
Michael Zod. He got Zack Snyder's blessing.
Yeah, but he also said, it wasn't really fun.
Yeah,
he didn't like those
because it was just actors in general. What I can tell from like interviews, especially from the older guys, going into a fucking studio in a blue school green screen in a dungus and just like nothing around you and performing is extremely difficult and frustrating.
And when you compare this, obviously it's a smaller role than what he had in Man of Steel. But in Man of Steel, there's a lot of time that he's not in these suits and things. Where it was Michael Shannon really...
Yeah, but he got to do something there.
You know what I mean?
He got to get angry.
So when you compare those experiences, I can understand why.
He was a positive in that form.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. But in this one, whatever. They needed someone to fight within the context. So, I mean, they've chose Zod.
I understand. Yeah, and like you said, this is aligning with the original Zack Snyder version of the DCU. It made sense from that perspective. I don't think it was a good decision.
Yeah, so he didn't want to come back after what happened with Zack Snyder and stuff. And then he got Zack Snyder's blessing to come back and then he agreed to. But then I maintain, Zack Snyder, you know how you and I feel about that.
I'm aware.
But I honestly think he is a nice guy to work with.
Yeah.
Because everybody who works with him,
all the reports,
they go to bat for him.
Yeah, all the reports have been positive about filming experiences.
Yeah.
He's done some brilliant things as well.
So but I honestly think he's a good dude.
But his influence on this is not positive.
Because everybody's like, love Zack, the Zack. So, you know what I mean?
And he's part of the polarization, unfortunately. Yeah, so the sooner we can move away from that, the better.
Yeah. I will move on. Thank you. From that right now.
We have to get to the CGI.
Yeah, let's talk about CGI.
We've done story. We've done characters.
There's a lot of CGI. First of all, there's a lot.
So much.
Of CGI. And when you have a film with this much CGI, the budget for this was 220.
I'm surprised it's not closer to 300.
Yeah, because the amount of special effects is fucking insane. And I mean, it's The Flash. Yeah. You're going to have a lot of special effects.
You have to.
Mm. You can see where things were rushed.
Money was tight.
Yeah, money was
tight. Money's too tight to mention.
Talk about money, money. I'm talking about money, money. No, but one thing that we've learned is that they still haven't perfected a CGI baby's face.
This was the worst CGI baby I've ever seen.
No, Twilight is the worst.
Okay.
And this is a close
second. But Twilight was also of its time, man. Like, this is how many years later? This is almost 20 years later.
Oh my God, is it 20 years later than Twilight?
Those Twilight movies came out in the 2000s.
Holy hell.
So, this is almost 20 years later than those films.
Yeah.
So, for us to compare Flash fucked up.
Yeah, Flash fucked up.
That was astonishingly bad. But did you read the article? Muschietti has a reason for it.
What?
He came out and said that the VFX was intentional.
Intentionally bad?
Yes.
Why?
According to him, when the worlds look the way they do, we are seeing it through Barry's perspective. So if it feels like it's a little weird, it's because it's this time.
Oh, world. No, but he's talking about... But that... Okay, fine. Sure.
No.
No. Fine. I mean, in that... So in that context, we'll get into it in spoilers, but when he enters that the time traveling thing, it was jarring for me, but I mean, in that context, I guess, fine, sure.
Not with this, though.
But in the real world... Yeah, exactly. In the real world, when... That's like the opening action scene.
That's the first thing in the film.
Yeah, and there's no excuse there because they're supposed to be real.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I did enjoy the very opening of the film, like the when it starts.
Yeah.
Barry goes to a coffee shop. He needs food. He's fucking calories.
His normal person is not there.
Yeah. So he has to then, there's an emergency and he has to fuck off. So then when he's getting ready to run and the logo starts to come up.
And then they interrupt him.
They interrupt him and it goes away. Very cool. And then when he actually runs, I thought that was very cool.
Yes.
And you learn there why he runs the way he runs because he's actually like glide. You couldn't tell in Zack Snyder's form.
But I read about, did I not tell you, I actually read the explanation. It's supposed to equate to the movement of speed skating.
Mm.
They had done research as to what do people look like when they move quickly.
The Winter Olympics.
Yes. Mm. So they use the Winter Olympics.
No, I get it. It makes sense. And I bought into that.
And they even make cut of it later in the movie. So it's...
I bought into
for
that.
For the very first time,
it works. Yeah. He's gliding on the speed force because it is a force. Mm. And I mean, to CGI... Like they do in the TV show. You know, it can be a bit, look a bit shit.
Yeah.
So it made sense for me. I bought into it. And the speed at which he moves in that opening sequence is amazing.
Yeah.
The slow motion stuff I can do without because I've seen it before and whatever. But they have to show us what he does.
Yes.
But that first scene where he runs from Central City to Gotham. Amazing. Yeah. This is a nitpick though. Mm. He does a two-finger point when he runs.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of that.
Nah, I'd like whole hand.
Whole hand?
Tom Cruise's butt.
No, but not even Tom Cruise. In the comics. Mm. Whenever. Oh, even if you look at covers, he's whole handing it.
That's true.
I don't like the two fingers. Yeah. I want the whole hand.
It's a size issue.
This is a stupid problem to have. But it irked me for some reason. I don't get it. Anyway, so CGI, not only that.
Major issues.
There's moments where the two batteries are together. Mm. And you can always tell which one is CGI.
Yeah.
So they CGI the whole face.
Yeah.
Usually, back in the day, kids, when there was one actor playing two characters.
You get back of the head.
And you get back of the head and stuff, but they also film it twice.
Yes, you have to do it.
You have to do it twice. So in this one, it seemed like a lot of the times they used a body double and they just CGI their face on.
Yes.
And there's ways to do it great, like in The Social Network with Armie Hammer.
Yeah.
They did also use a body double and they CGI'd faces and stuff. Mm. But okay, that is, what's his name? Who directed that?
Sorkin.
No, Fincher.
No, Aaron Sorkin directed that.
No, he didn't. Oh, here we go. It's a battle of the ages. It's a battle of the ages. Who's going to get there first? David Fincher, he's the winner. Anyway.
Sorkin did the screenplay. So I was...
Okay.
No, I was 2%.
Nobody cares about second place. Anyway, so but Fincher is really detail-orientated. And it's not a superhero blockbuster. I get it. But there are ways to make it look really good. Mm. And when Barry and Barry are together, I could always tell which was the CGI one.
And despite that, Ezra Miller did really well with the playing off of Ezra versus Ezra.
Ezra versus Ezra.
Despite what we talked about now with the CGI issues and how it was filmed. So I was impressed with that, but the CGI was so problematic. It's even things like Batman's cape and Batman's cape, the movement.
When Supergirl was also fighting at times, it's the rubber effect.
Yes, it just didn't look...
This is supposed to be a really big budget blockbuster and it... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was.
I guess...
But this is... Sorry, Jody. Thinking about the reviews leading up to this film, like, how was this not mentioned in, like, any... I didn't see anything complaining that much about the CGI.
No, that came after. We had the initial, like, hyperbolic initially. Like, best superhero movie ever.
Yeah.
John Campia was one of the first people to
say... No, he still loves it. He loved it.
But he was one of the first people to come out and say, this isn't the best movie ever. Like, the best superhero movie ever. But it is fun. And it is good. Which I think is...
It's fair.
That's fair. But the way people are going on about this, it's... You know, this is right up there with the best we've ever seen. Nothing Marvel has done holds a candle to this.
No, but do you think that let's get into our... Let's put our conspiracy hats on. Do you think that this is a push from the studio in order to get ahead of the controversies in case the movie does well so that they can push for a sequel without people...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, long term.
Yeah.
If this makes money, we've been saying as much as Ezra's had all this cuck in their real life, in their actual life, if this makes money, they're going to make another one.
Money talks, baby. Is there anything you want to say pre-spoilers?
I think with the CGI, we've had the issue with Marvel and darkening their movies so that they can get away with shitty CGI. I'm
sorry, it's early, man. You're not boring me. I'm just waking up.
This film hasn't shied away from filming in the light, at least. And I think we picked up on bad CGI, but give them the credit. They at least went for not trying to darken everything and make it so hard to make out what's going on.
And it doesn't feel like an overcorrection.
Yeah.
It felt like, okay, this was the story that they wanted to tell. But you speak about that. And the first treatment of the script was actually written by Ezra Miller and Grant Morrison, the comic book writer. They wrote the draft in the script, and that was a darker take. But the studio decided that they wanted to go with their version rather. And I commend them for that because... Yeah. If you had gone darker, it might have been, here we go, Zack Snyder again.
Yeah.
The fucking... Everything can't be dark.
You can't make those colors all the time. Okay, we need to get into our spoilers.
Okay, quiet night for you.
It was quiet for me. I had a good time. Like, it actually felt worth a cinema experience.
Yeah.
Despite the wonky CGI.
I will agree with you. I will say it's a quiet. I don't think it's the best superhero movie ever made.
No.
But I did have fun at times.
Yeah, they were laugh out loud moments.
They were laugh out loud moments. There were moments where, like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So that's what you want from a superhero movie. Not all the laughter, but I mean, you want to be blown away a little bit at times. And I was. I'd say about 20%.
Yeah.
That's enough for me.
It's more than enough. 20% is a pass.
Yeah, that's spoiler time. Spoiler time, motherfucker. Spoiler time. Nicolas Cage is Superman.
Thomas Wayne dies. Fuck you. Squeeze it in there.
Why, Johnny? It's not the fact that you are adamant with this. It's how aggressive you are with this. I'm not even fighting you on this. I'm just saying I don't care.
It's the lack of agreement that gets
no,
to me.
Because I don't fucking care. It's
in any case,
he's not coming back.
Michael Keaton dies,
but it doesn't make sense to make him Thomas because he was Batman. He was Bruce back in the day.
I was explaining to Jen. I think because in the Flashpoint Paradox, one of the key storylines is that Bruce died, not Thomas and Martha.
Yeah.
So
Thomas becomes Batman. Martha becomes Joker. Yeah.
Amazing. And I think that they were thinking of going that route with
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And there was certain stuff that they did that reference.
I also think so.
But in the end, ultimately,
Michael Keaton's original Batman, you have to bring him back as Bruce. To.
And Michael Keaton
kills it. He's so good. Even the neck. I didn't mind the neck.
I read a thing this morning where people are complaining about how does Batman know how time travel works. It's fucking Batman.
It's Batman.
How?
It's Batman.
And I love that explanation, by the way. In terms of all the different...
With the spaghetti. Again, driving the Italian agenda. It's Italian.
Not driven enough.
This is just propaganda for the Super Mario movie.
It's about drive.
So I also love that explanation. And it was, the spaghetti, say what you will, it was a great visual.
Such a good visual.
Yeah, but how it works.
Questioning why Batman would know that to me ridiculous. is, man. So in the story, Barry goes back in time, saves his mother, figures out how to save his mom without actually making contact with anyone, which is one of the key requirements of any time travel.
Yeah.
And when he tries to go back, gets pushed out of the Speed Force.
Yeah.
As he's going back.
By an entity.
Psychotic looking entity.
Which is Barry.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Barry fucked up everything. Barry fights Barry. Yeah.
Barry's the Barry.
Yeah. Barry tries to change time over and over and over again.
So, I didn't like because I wanted Reverse Flash.
Yeah, but they're not going to... They weren't... I didn't...
There was no space for it with what they ended up
there
doing.
There was a lot. There was a lot
going on. But my thing was, if they left out the whole Zod thing, they could have done Reverse Flash. Like, proper Reverse Flash. But now you have this forcing in what we know. And look, I can understand they needed to align it in a way.
That's
where
one of Abby's pet peeves is that his nemesis is just Reverse Flash.
Yeah. Marvel does it all the time.
She's like, what do you mean? Does he run backwards?
No. He pops it in reverse.
So, I get what you're saying. There was an opportunity there. They decided not to go that route. Maybe holding it out for the future. The problem is also that the series introduced all those villains already.
True.
Godspeed, Reverse Flash, or Savitar, all these major ones. And they didn't
any
know...
Any speed-related villain has been done.
Now. Yeah. So it's like, I get it. It was also funny. There was a moment where the younger Barry, who's got powers and doesn't know how to use them properly, gets shot.
Yeah. He's like, we can get shot?
Fastest man alive, wasn't paying attention, gets shot in the knee.
And that bullet comes out in slow-mo.
That was sick, bro. Yo, that was cunk. As a Batman fan, I really enjoyed that sequence, the fighting sequences with Batman and stuff. And the way he solved, you were talking about the mathematics.
Quick math. Batman, quick math, that elevator.
I love that he's got a tape measure.
How much does she weigh? And he quickly does.
I know. And Barry, amazing. Also a science guy, was like, I'm this much and she's about 40 pounds and whenever you need to. Okay. He does. You'll see when you see the movie. Now you see moments like that. What gives me hope about Andy Muschietti. Fuck.
And is that treatment of Batman?
Yes.
Same.
Smart, same. Capable, fucking problem solving.
And does not. He doesn't do any disservice to the character.
No.
Batman's character was so well served by what they did with him, with his arc.
What I loved as well is when Barry goes to Gotham we find out that Gotham is like the most peaceful city in the world. Yeah. So Batman has actually won.
Yeah.
And now he's just living his life, yeah, probably a recluse, hasn't cut his hair.
He's recluse.
He's wearing sloffies. Like, come on, Batman. At least put on Birkenstocks. Mm. So he's wearing fucking sloffies. And then he helps Barry and he puts the bat suit on again. And you see that glint in his eye come back. And eventually when he dies, he's like, I'm sorry, I couldn't like bring you back. And he's like, you did.
Yeah.
And he...
just
perfect. I got goosebumps now from
Batman's
that shit.
Batman's arc.
Amazing.
In this thing. Michael Keaton's Batman arc is brilliant.
He might actually be my... Yeah, he's my favorite thing in this movie.
He is Batman.
He's my favorite thing in this movie.
Batman.
He proves it again.
Again?
He's 70-something.
Look, I will say with the fight scene, they really did reference Ben Affleck's Batman in our Michael Keaton's Batman fights.
Yeah.
Which is...
But even Ben Affleck's opening sequence, that was all a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
With the bat cycle and shit.
So I think that was... They shifted very much from the older Batman fighting styles and... Particularly,
but it was so well blended. I know this is a Flash movie, but we're talking about Batman a lot. This it was such a nice blend of kind of all the Batman, except for Christian Bale. Maybe there were moments. Obviously, the score, Danny Elfman's score comes back.
Superman's score comes back.
Yeah, but never mind Superman. We're talking about Batman now.
Yeah.
And then there's moments where he's flying out of the jet, and then the jet is in front of the moon, and I'm like, these are comic book panels that have come to life, my brother.
Just, Ross, that idea of the thing moves around the central thing with the jet, and it's so Batman.
It's so Batman.
You know, you would think about that.
God, I want that Batman.
Okay, so Batman works.
No, let's talk about Batman more. No, yeah, Batman works.
Batman
hard
works.
Hard in the paint.
Zod is our ultimate villain who's not our ultimate villain.
Yeah, because the villain was inside you all along.
That the literally. But that entire storyline, it nerfs Supergirl.
Mm.
It's a waste of Zod. Like, literally, that whole arc of getting Supergirl and everything.
Yeah.
Because Barry's idea is he needs to get the Justice League together because Zod makes an appearance.
Yeah.
And why Zod makes an appearance is explained by Batman with how time works now and so on. But it was ultimately, to me, pointless. Like, no one came out of that looking good. Because the whole purpose of that was to create evil Barry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. That's the whole thing. And I think, I mean, that was the purpose of it, but it's a little bit of a letdown.
It's a letdown.
Whether it makes sense or not within the story, I don't know. Maybe it's the expectation of a final battle, but there has been subversions of that which have really worked. Like, for instance, okay, John Wick is extremely action heavy.
Yeah.
But the final battle in John Wick is not a major action sequence.
No, it's and a that was, slow down.
That was wonderful. I really... like that type of thing where they subvert expectations, but I still felt a little cheated with this one.
And with Supergirl's character, they make her go from this empowering, strong female character to just a plot device.
Mm.
And that to me was...
unacceptable.
Why build her up in that way?
Just to break
her
down.
Only make her a plot device for Barry's villain.
I really hope they bring her back in the future.
Yeah.
I really do. I think she's
so much potential.
100%. I mean, that suit alone, I just want to see it on screen again. It's fucking stunning.
But really, just everything about her character worked. Like, the way she carried herself, the fighting scenes, all of that for me was good.
Yeah.
And I think more development for her, maybe then the emotional range stuff that Jenna spoke about can be worked through.
Yeah.
And you can actually see her represented well.
Fun fact. I have the same keyboard as Batman.
Ooh.
Did you spot that?
I didn't spot that.
Yeah, he has a key crown.
Yeah.
So I'm well on my way. Just waiting for my parents to die.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm joking.
You're going to start much older. Much older.
And much fatter. Fun fact as well. Abby, this is a Rita Ora fact.
Oh, yeah.
She was almost cast as Iris West.
Ooh.
Yeah. Rita Ora.
Whoa.
I mean, it's no significance whatsoever. I would also save Rita. What did she said? Put it back in my pants. Sorry, Jody's came out when we were talking about Christopher Nolan. And it's only fair
that he gets to whip it out too. Mine's just been dangling.
The moment we stop talking about Christopher Nolan, you lose wood.
I'm just like, oh, man.
Another fun fact. In 2020, Müller choked a woman in Iceland. The woman thought Müller was joking when they approached her outside the bar. Mm-hmm. The bartender, Carlos Reyna, intervened. Müller grabbed him by the throat when he tried to throw them out and proceeded to spit in his face several times.
Mm. Cool. In case anyone forgot. Yeah, this was his. This was their first press.
Let's talk about it.
Like
house arrest, yeah. Must be.
Yeah,
the moment everything like culminated, all the allegations came to light. Whatever they knew, this movie was coming out. The studio probably said, "Kegi,
lock them down,
fucking lock them down." And they were under house arrest. And then I was surprised that they made an appearance at the red carpet. Or I heard that they were going to be at the red carpet. But they had explicitly said, no interviews.
Gave one.
gave a statement. But no questions.
Yeah.
No one could ask them questions. Yeah. And I get it. Even on the red carpet, there was a woman. I don't know if it's their mother, but there was a woman next to them. Constantly like just... standing there watching them and like guiding them across the red carpet. I will say that they do look healthier than they did before.
Yeah, that's true. It's very hard to divorce the real life stuff from
it the is hard to divorce.
From the movie.
It's expensive.
It's very expensive. You there goes your policies, my bro.
Community retirement in its chops.
Retirement in its more. But it's hard to separate the two.
Yeah.
Purely from an acting standpoint, this was Ezra Miller's best work in the DC.
Yeah.
Right? But with all of that stuff going on, I still don't see how you can just forget that and keep working with the actor going forward.
Yeah.
Still.
100% agree. And it worries me that a sequel will be greenlit. But Andy Muschietti has said, and I quote, "We didn't talk about it. I think that we're all waiting to see how the movie does, of course. Mm-hmm. There's excitement about continuing the story, especially if the movie is successful. Of course, there's an architecture in DC that is brewing and it's being created. And the question is, will this new architecture absorb this story? Mm-hmm. The good thing about the multiverse is that it is possible. The multiverse allows all of these different worlds to coexist and interact. And so, hopefully, yes. I mean, we don't know yet. That's the truth.
Yeah.
They do know. They do know, but it's based on numbers.
Exactly.
I really say go watch this film, but part of me doesn't want it to succeed because I don't want Ezra Miller to come back.
Yeah.
I want a new Flash and I want justice. Mm-hmm. Yes. Equality.
Yeah.
Peace. Hope.
I agree.
Prosperity.
For all. No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with
you. Sorry, I thought you were going to elaborate. No, you left me hanging there.
It's a complex thing, but ultimately that's where my feelings are at.
Let's talk cameos. Mm-hmm. We see quite a few cameos. Quite. There's fan service that is done badly. Yes. I didn't feel like this is one of them.
Yeah.
Because of the context in which the cameos were shown.
And how they were done. It was actually in a logical way.
Yes.
And the way that didn't detract from the story at all.
Yeah, there were general cameos for casual fans, and there were cameos for people that get into the nitty gritty.
Biggest one.
Yeah.
Biggest one.
Nicolas Cage.
Superman.
Yeah, Superman. What was his movie going to be called?
Tim Burton, Superman.
Superman Lives or something.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a cameo with long haired Nicolas Cage fighting a giant spider.
In that suit.
I do recommend you watch a movie called, it was done by John Schnipp, a guy named John Schnipp.
The Death of Superman Lives.
Yeah, The Death of Superman Lives. It's a documentary about the lost film that was almost made with Nicolas Cage as Superman. They get into that. But us, having seen the film, it was nice to see Nicolas Cage fighting a giant spider.
Yes. Just and almost losing, but no.
Yeah.
Then we get
Christopher Reeve. You might not recognize him because he's not in a wheelchair, but he's got the Superman costume on.
We've got Helen Slater as Supergirl.
I was surprised by that because that Supergirl movie was dog shit.
It was also so derided. There's not even a cult following.
No, but she was there, and I was like, wow, wow, wee, wow. We also get The first Superman. Yeah, George Reeves. George Reeves, black and white Superman. Mm. We get
Wally West.
The Flashman. Mm. Was he an actor from a show or something?
I don't know, but it's Wally West.
I know. And what I
and we got Adam West Batman somewhere. I missed him.
Yeah,
I
didn't He was there. Yeah, because you were talking.
shouting out that Starbucks wine.
Anyway. And then I was surprised we didn't get Grant Gustin.
Yeah.
And we didn't get the...
Lots of talk of that happening.
The original 90s Flash.
Yes. You're on SABC 2.
My brother. Yes, I used to love that show.
Yes.
But was that a pilot? Or was it the whole season?
I feel like there was more than one episode.
I also feel like that.
Because I just remember... But the guy had like a plaid type shirt on and used to run around and shit also. The budget was...
No, he had a suit.
Yeah, but he also... I'm talking about when he didn't have his suit.
Yeah, because then he's... Oh, yeah. But, we didn't see that. But they give us a lot of, like, fan service and little cameos and stuff, which I enjoyed. But, again, you're looking at it and you're like, yo, this is fucking PlayStation 4 graphics that you're looking at. And it didn't look great.
Yeah. In the case of the baby's PS2.
Yeah. the thing is, you're getting... Why not just get Nicolas Cage to stand there?
And that was the...
Why CGI?
When people spoke about what was going to happen, all the speculation, it was that it would be current Nicolas Cage in the movie, not in the Superman suit, but he is Clark Kent. So similar to what happened now with, what's it, with the Flashers thing, where they time travel and they bump into Tom Welling's Superman, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So was that in Flash or where was that? One of the CW stuff.
Yeah, they're all fucking connected. There was Flash, I think. Mm. Arrowverse, we call it.
Yeah. We.
Yeah, we call it the Arrowverse. Mm. Anyway, that seemed unnecessary if you had people that were still alive. Like
that you could have used.
Yeah.
Obviously, Christopher Reeve and the Supergirl
character
were just...
We're eating after this. Jody has to leave soon anyway.
It's already after 12:30.
Oh my God.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up.
There's so much to talk about. No, I know we didn't. I'm rushing.
Now you're rushing. He's got the stuff. I'm trying to work through it here.
Ray Fisher didn't appear.
No.
We know why.
Wow.
They address it though because you're because like, oh, Cyborg's not here.
He's not Cyborg. Yeah. The friendly Terminator.
Yeah. But overall, Jody, I did have fun with this more. I think it was hit and miss at times, but in general, more hit. It's one of the better DC films to come out in the near future.
Honestly, out of... I look at what's been released, the last one I liked was probably Wonder Woman. And then this.
No, Suicide Squad, James Gunn's
one. I don't even count him as part of that. It's so secret in my mind. My dear, James Gunn Suicide.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of... it opens things up. I think it's a good catalyst for the new universe. Mm. Launching pad, whatever. Oh, one major spoiler. Mm. George Clooney.
Oh, my God. So, in the story, he initially saves his mom, realizes I can't do that, so unsaves his mom.
Mm.
But what he does get to do is to save his dad from going to prison.
Because he puts the tomato sauce on the
top shelf.
Because Italians.
But what does that do to the universe?
It makes George Clooney, Bruce Wayne, Batman.
No nips.
Yeah, no nips. I was truly surprised.
That was...
Because that was kept under wraps.
They
had spoiled all the fucking...
Honest to God, thought it was Christian Bale coming out there.
He wouldn't do it.
But it, like, totally would not have made any sense, but... George Clooney?
Yeah. They kept that a secret somehow.
Nah, well done.
Yeah, well done. Well done, indeed. I think even in one of the interviews, he lied and said he didn't, he wouldn't come back. Something like that. I might have read it. But I was truly surprised and I was pleasantly surprised. It was really funny.
It was well done.
But looking at it like, okay, this is the last Flash movie. I was like, okay, fine, sure. If we don't see Ezra Miller again, then that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know where they take this now afterwards, if it does go that way, but I'm fine with it as it is.
That's that, Em?
Flash is fast.
That was fast.
Oh.
Oh, you've got to say
now. I'm sorry. Okay.
Laid it up for you.
We don't have any shout-outs, but we do.
Don't.
We did have people email us because there were free tickets on the table.
Yay! So we can shout out the people who won the free tickets.
Yeah, Nelson
and Pehlo.
Pehlo Kazi.
Pehlo Kazi goes by Pehlo.
Full name. She goes by Pehlo for white people.
True. Halo.
But congratulations. It was dope to see for you to come out and join us for the
so phone. Good to hear the opinions.
yeah, that was Nelson's feeling on the phone.
That movie.
was pretty interesting. He did not enjoy it as much as we did, but that's fine. To each their own. Mm. Listen, Jody, it's Pride Month this month.
Yes, it is.
Bow, 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 bow. So we want to hit you with some LGBTQ+ recommendations.
Yeah, Netflix has actually taken the time to create a Celebrate Pride Month category on Netflix.
Yeah, which is amazing.
It is. So if you go and type in Pride Unity is a thing, that's the name of
The category.
The category. But you and I have been thinking about movies we'd recommend.
Yeah.
I want to go first because you'll probably try and take my recommendation.
No, I won't.
I think you might actually have more unique recommendations. You see more movies than I do.
It's true.
I'm going to throw back to something that we did review that we both loved. I Care a Lot.
Yeah, I Care a Lot. Loved is a strong word.
Enjoyed. Rosamund Pike, one of her best roles.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that movie. Go check it out. And I'll give another one for free. Moonlight.
Yeah.
Just because.
Amazing film.
Mahershala Ali, but everyone in that movie.
Amazing film.
So powerful. So intense. So sad.
A Netflix comedy, Fire Island.
Ooh.
Have you seen it?
No.
Asian, mainly Asian cast. Mm. It's so funny and so sweet. It's on Netflix. It was a Netflix release, I think. Yeah. Either Netflix or Amazon. I'm not sure.
And look, I know we're a movie podcast, Ross, but Schitt's Creek is here. And Schitt's I'm just Creek. Looking at I'm just looking at them right now. And I'm like, that's probably my favorite portrayal of a couple.
Series. I suppose you could watch it as a movie. Like a long fucking movie. A
long ass movie.
But some other recommendations. Booksmart. Which is a coming-of-age comedy a la...
Who directed that again? Olivia Wilde.
Yes, Olivia Wilde directed Booksmart. That was so dope. Another weird one, The Favourite, which won an Oscar Olivia Colman. Mm. The Favourite is a great one. I also... Great cast. Call Me By Your Name. I haven't seen it. Oh, no. Fire Island's on Hulu.
Ah.
So it'll be on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Amazing film. It's so funny. Go watch that. Call Me By Your Name, even though Armie Hammer is a cannibal, it was recommended to me by my queer friends.
POS.
And so I am going to watch that one.
Yeah.
Then we have a South African one, Morphe.
Yeah.
Not a slur.
No.
I'm not using it in that context.
That's the movie's name. The movie's name is Morphe.
Yeah.
Apparently incredibly powerful Afrikaans young man having to go to the army during the time of conscription in South Africa.
Yeah.
A really good story.
There's another South African one, which is called The Wound. And that's with the initiation.
Yes.
Also very, I mean, it's heavy. Some of these movies are really heavy. That's why I'm pushing Fire Island and Booksmart, because I want people to realize that there are a full range of queer films. I did watch part of Bros, because Bros was...
I also saw part of
it. I did not enjoy it.
I'm not a big fan of, what's the star of that film?
Billy
on the Street. His energy.
In that film, I don't really think he's that great an actor if he's not doing Billy stuff.
Yeah.
So in that film, it's a little jarring for me, and I didn't think it was that funny, and I was rooting for that film.
Yeah.
But I do think Fire Island is a better film than that. Mm. Also, one of our favorite films from last year, Tar.
Yeah.
Tar is a queer film.
Yeah.
Love that film.
Yeah.
Another one, The Kids Are All Right, with the redheaded woman and Mark Ruffalo. Annette Bening is in there.
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore.
The redhead.
The redheaded woman, yes. She is redheaded, though.
I'm not disputing it, but... The fact that I managed to figure out who you're talking about from the radio.
But you do that's your job. Another one that I heard is really good is Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't even heard of that.
Wow, get your fucking shit together.
Movie podcast.
And then the original gangster, the one that fucking broke so many stories, Brokeback Mountain, man.
Where can you find that?
In your heart.
Oh, I mean,
no, I mean, I don't know. I'm just recommending films.
Like, yeah, yeah. No, I'm just talking about, but where is that available?
It should be somewhere, guys. Should be. Just give it a googs.
Yeah. Like, that one is that much sadder now, considering Heath Ledger not being with us anymore. And just the impact of that performance, Heath and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, I mean, the backlash that they got. Look, okay, we have more queer representation, and we can now actually cast queer people in these films. But for the time, I mean, this is, it's not that long ago, 2005. But for the time, I mean,
it's 18 years.
Yes. Taking two straight actors and putting them in these roles, it was highly controversial. And it was...
with actual sex scenes as well.
Yeah.
Like for men, this whole persona of macho-ness.
I know people who can't even watch men kiss.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're not kissing you, motherfucker. Mm. Shit. But anyway, celebrating Pride Month, there's a lot of queer films. There's a lot of up-and-coming queer directors who are telling great stories.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to be alive in film for representation. We're at the best time, but we still got a lot of work to do.
Long way to go.
Hell yeah. So after all that, no shout outs, whatever. One more time, shouting out Empire Entertainment for the premiere. If someone wanted to find us, possibly to win more tickets in the future, how would they do that, Johnny?
First of all, write to us, biscoperasa@gmail.com. We actually got so many emails, Ross. Ones of email.
Ones and ones. Not even tens.
And you can find us on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, Biscope Rasa Podcast.
Oh, yeah. And celebrate Pride Month if you can. And stay safe, Jody.
Stay safe, Ross.
I will. Stay safe.